Good morning and welcome back to The Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Welcome everyone to Morning Magazine part two for this January 19th, 2023. Your host James J here, and I am joined right now by Kayla Rumblatsky. She is the Community Development Educator with UW-Madison Extension, Wood County. Good morning, Kayla.
Good morning.
Thank you for being in studio.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Got such great guests. You know, you guys show up and everything. It's so nice. I was telling Lisa, it's okay to do these interviews over the phone. We like that, but there's just something nice about having people in studio and being able to talk face-to-face.
Agreed. It's more fun this way.
And it was okay getting in today? You're right?
Yeah, good. It wasn't bad. My son, I will tell you, I've talked about my kids a few times on this show, and my son is very excited because the snow outside is packy.
Yeah.
So he wants to make a snowman,
I already talked Seth into going outside and making a fort with me.
There we go. Yeah, perfect.
We're definitely doing that.
Exactly. That's like a mindfulness exercise, right?
Absolutely.
Like, it's good for your mental health.
We're going to get into a topic today that I think is one of the more important ones that we're going to be discussing, and not just now, but really going ahead until it really gets kind of fixed or is better. And I did a little homework myself. I know you did too. Let's go ahead and dive right into this. Housing. That's right. Just housing.
Right
there is where we're going.
Yeah. So, James, you and I have talked about some pretty critical issues of a community on air. We talked about broadband. We've talked about childcare. Now we're talking about housing. And with all of these, what I think is interesting is that we keep using the word crisis because, childcare is a crisis. There's a lack of affordable or a lack of access to childcare centers. And with housing, there's housing shortage, and they often use the word crisis with that as well. So I think, you know, crisis, using that word so much kind of dilutes the importance of it. But with regard to housing, it really is some dire situations across the country and in Wood County.
I think our younger generations have noticed this or been aware of it, whether they realize it or not, for a long time. The generation, our parents, like, you know, I'm 45, so I'm like, my parents, they grew up in a time where their parents helped them buy a house. Their parents maybe helped them do this, or maybe they gave them their house when they retired or you know, moved on or something like that.
Right.
And that kind of stopped happening for a lot of reasons that, you know, we don't have to necessarily get into. But and when that went away is when you really had the beginnings of the housing crisis.
Right.
And then we're talking like late 70s, early 80s. That's how long this has been an issue.
Right.
And then you compound that with every other issue we have had since then, which, you know, some haven't gone away, some are new. It is all added to this topic.
Yeah, exactly. And it's interesting because there are so many, I call them if-then statements. So, like, if this happens, then this will happen. So when we look at housing and what's happening recently, you know, baby boomers are aging, but they're staying in their homes longer. Mm-hmm. They're not moving into, care facilities or just transient housing. They're staying put, which means that those houses are not on the market and available for younger, maybe workforce housing needs. Mm-hmm. And so it just exacerbates the crisis and it goes kind of around. So there's a new study. This housing issue has been on the docket for a long time. Mm-hmm. But there's a new study from Forward Analytics, which is the research arm of the Wisconsin Counties Association. And that report found that the state needs to build at least 140,000 housing units by 2030 to keep up with current demand. If Wisconsin hopes to increase its working age population by the end of the decade, the number of housing units needed jumps to 227,000. So that's kind of, that ties into that if-then statement. So we've talked about all of the crises that we have in our community, if you will. Another one is workforce. We need people to fill jobs. We have jobs available and we don't have enough people to do it. So if we're attracting those people in, if we're hiring more people and bringing them into our community, which we love and we want them to love as well, where are they going to live? Mm-hmm. So, you know, that second part of that quote is, if we hope to increase our working age population by the end of the decade, the number jumps even more. And so it's just, you know, it's like you solve one piece of the puzzle and then you create another another issue over here.
And it's this is something, because we're going to come back to that before we wrap up today. I'm going to have you read those stats one more time. I really want to make sure the audience has that sink in.
Sure.
When it oftentimes so many times in life, there is no villain. There is no bad guy. Things happen. Life just happens. It's not a bad thing that baby boomers are staying in their homes longer. That's a great thing. That's
all.
A positive.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful thing, and we're encouraging of that, and that's awesome way to go, boomers. But the side effect of that can be negative. And again, it's not necessarily that anybody did something wrong here or anything. I know when we're talking housing, that's a huge umbrella. And there's plenty of things with the housing market we can get into. And, you know, the way that it is harder for certain races to get housing or get a loan than others. There's a lot of layers to this.
Oh, yeah.
But as far as that part of it goes, I don't want to escape past that too much. That's not a bad thing. It just has a side effect that kind of has had a downside, because we haven't been able to build more houses.
Exactly.
We haven't had more people to fill jobs. So these kind of things, it would have been okay had we had this other stuff going on.
Right.
I'm fortunate every month to do Let's Talk Real Estate with J.R. Seward.
Sure.
And Seward Realtors, who for me, my money, are the best in this area and the best in the business. And
sure.
In part because they not only care about their clients, but they know their stuff. They are constantly keeping up to date on research, and not just how, you know, the buying and selling of houses. How's the lumber industry doing?
Right.
How's this industry doing?
How does that cause and effect play in?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, and I've learned so much about this, and I may never own a home, but I look at that stuff as important data, as somebody who cares about my community, cares about this area, because that adds up. Whether I own a home or I don't, that's going to affect me.
Yeah, exactly. And the home ownership market affects the rental market, right? So, like, whether you own a home or you don't, it still affects you if you want a place to live. So let's talk. That's the statewide statistic. Yeah. We know that this is happening across the nation. So this is not just a Wisconsin issue. It's not just a Wood County issue. Though I will say, I want to give the caveat that a lot of times when you watch the national news, these things are escalated. And living in central Wisconsin, I think we have a pretty unique environment, in the sense that the things that are happening on the coast in the big city, so you look at LA, you look at New York City, those things we feel here, but we feel it a little less harshly than they do on those coasts.
Yeah.
So when we dive into some of this data, and when we do research, it's important to kind of realize that the things that you're hearing the talking heads, I'll use that term, talk about on the news are not necessarily being felt as strongly in central Wisconsin.
Always like to remind people to do your homework. You know, I tell them, even if I'm saying something and I've researched it to death and I've looked at this site and everything, still look it up yourself. Do your own homework.
Right. Yeah. Very true. Very important.
There's a lot more from this study about Forward Analytics. Do you want to touch on some more of that, or did we cover all that?
That's the big point, is just the fact that there's such a shortage. I think where we should go with our conversation is talking about what we see locally and what we can do about it.
Yeah.
You know, that's always the important part, is how do we solve this issue? How do we make a dent in it?
It would be kind of a very let down interview if all we did was just tell people about problems.
Right, that, right.
Well, we got no clue how to help them. Good luck, everybody.
Good luck.
That's our answer.
This is another, as I was thinking about this interview and thinking about our conversations, I thought, you know, this is going to be another James and Kayla Save the World conversation.
Yes, yes, it is.
Like,
yes,
everybody. We have the answers, and we'll figure it out. We'll take that brunt of the burden on.
I do like the idea of course, going local and going Wood County specifically with this, though.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. So the needs are a little bit different in Rapids versus Marshfield, and in rural Wood County versus our more metro areas. But it's apparent across the board that there is just not enough housing stock available. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to give out some thoughts based on some of the people. I've spoken with some realtors, and I've done some sort of informal studies, if you will. And I thought it was very interesting that in 2015, here in Rapids, in the Rapids area, there were approximately 350 to 400 listings available for homes. Right? So 2015, 350 to 400. Today, in 2023, there are 38.
Jeez.
38 homes available for purchase. And that's from $0 to $700,000.
Man.
So if you're looking, I mean, anywhere in that scope, if you're looking for a starter home, if you're looking to move out of your starter home and into a next step home, there's just not a lot available. And there are approximately, let's say, 80 real estate agents in the Wisconsin Rapids area for those 38 homes.
Just,
and if even, you know, some realtors are part-time, some are full-time, but if you assume that they're working with maybe five clients, like, yeah that's, it's impressively scarce, we'll say that.
And scary. Like,
right.
Just downright scary.
Right.
Like, it takes a lot to get under my skin, but that does. That stat really stays with you.
And then for our friends in Marshfield, I don't want to leave them out. So there are, in the Marshfield market, forgive me, I'm just trying to sort through my notes at the moment.
I know what that is like. You can relate to
that. I should have highlighted it. Mm-hmm. I've had really fascinating conversations, and so I just have a lot of stuff.
Well, I imagine some of these stats are just right there at the top of your head, too, so.
Yeah. So there are
We can come
four,
back.
15 to 18 houses for sale in city limits. So that's that's in the city limits of Marshfield. That doesn't necessarily include some of the surrounding communities, but like 20 houses for sale in the city limits.
And if there's anybody out there kind of going, well, those are smaller rural areas and everything, it doesn't take a big search to look at L.A., Chicago, other cities dealing with a very similar thing. Like Kayla was kind of talking about a bit before. Those numbers are going to obviously be bigger, but they are, if you compare that to population sizes, it's actually the same. They even out. So you're dealing with the same issues in metro areas, in rural areas, in small towns, in big towns. Like, this is a nationwide problem. It's really interesting to hear the stats locally, though. I don't think we get that at all, really.
Yeah.
I really cannot thank you enough for the data, the research you've done on this.
Yeah, of course.
We did mention we were going to solve the world's problems. Right. We'll do that when we come back. You got to make them wait. You got to go to do the commercial break, and you make them wait for it. Then we solve the problem. We'll be back with more here on Morning Magazine at WFHR, locally grown radio. We are appreciating you all joining us. Kayla Rumblatsky, a community development educator at UW-Madison Extension, Wood County, here on Morning Magazine. And we've been talking about housing, Kayla, and getting into this. We kind of gave people some stats locally when it comes to this subject. We've talked about it quite a bit. Now let's solve the subject. Let's just get it done so everybody doesn't have anything
figure
to worry
it out.
About.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
In all seriousness, let's get into how can we, so many of these topics you and I have talked about, and really just topics in day-to-day life these days, I find that one of the biggest things for people is, I want to do something about this, but it's so daunting. It seems so big. And what can I do to, make an impact on such a big thing?
Right. So like anything, it's not a one bullet magic bullet approach. But I think it comes down to a couple of things. One of the things that we're seeing across the state and locally is zoning reform. So breaking down barriers for development. If a developer wants to come in and work on a project, oftentimes, if they have to buy the land, they've already got that expense before they've even built a wall. The issue comes down to lack of available housing stock. We just need more housing.
Yeah.
And the way to do that is to reform zoning and to break down some of those barriers for development. And that's really what the Forward Analytics study found, is that zoning reform is really the most important thing to allow allow for more single-family homes, but then also more multifamily units and different types of housing, because that's the way that will really impact the market with more new construction. But the other side of it is the existing homes that we have, many of them are getting older. They're, getting to a point of dilapidation and really are in need of some repairs and some fixes in order to make them a quality place to live for the next 100 years. Mm-hmm. So that's part of it as well, is potentially having some opportunity to allow for renovation, to allow for incentivizing those fixes to really update the quality of the housing stock. And then sort of the third thing is that looking at creative ways to solve the challenges, and looking at what type of housing is needed in each area. So one of the things that I talked with some realtors in Marshfield about is that in Marshfield there is a large population of traveling workforce, right? So mm-hmm. with Marshfield Clinic, there are at any given time up to 175 people that are traveling. And so what they're looking for really is fully furnished housing. Mm-hmm. They're looking for furnished living because they're doing some long-term traveling. And oftentimes they end up in a hotel or they end mm-hmm. up in a different type of housing situation. So is there an option, to infiltrate the market with more of those furnished living opportunities? Updating the rental units is important as yes. well. There's a bit of a disparity between the brand new sort of top of the line mm-hmm. rentals and then the older housing stock mm-hmm. that has been on the market for a while in terms of the rental market and perhaps needs some updates, needs some some TLC mm-hmm. in order to meet the demand of workforce housing. So that's important as well.
Almost every industry has had to do this. You have to adapt to modern times, especially with the internet and the rise of that. You've had to adapt. Now, the housing industry, I think, in many ways, has done a great job of this. Right now, if I want to buy a house in California, I can go online. I can virtually look at that thing all over and see just about every little nook and cranny of it if I want to. Talk to a realtor on Skype and do all these things. Like, it's adapted to technology very, very well. But there's other parts of the industry that are still trying to catch up. And so many of them Kayla has touched on today. I feel like that's a big part of this conversation, is not only these different groups, lumberers and realtors working together and sharing information and all this, community activists and leaders working with realtors and that, but the business aspect of this, it's so vital to the conversation on both ends. One, for these realtors to not only continue to obviously make a living, but for our construction industry to flourish and to have right. jobs to do work, put people to work and make these houses and everything. To the other side of it, where people who, it's not as affordable as it used to be to buy a home.
Absolutely.
We've talked about this for over 20 years. Minimum wage doesn't add up anymore. You yeah. can't. If I have a job, I'm a single guy, I got no other responsibilities, I work 40 hours a week and I'm getting paid a minimum wage, I'd be lucky to afford a room. Right. Not an apartment, a room
right.
in Wisconsin Rapids.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to find it. Like, here, it's the rent is high, let right. alone in a big city or even in a metropolitan area similar to Milwaukee or La Crosse or something like
right.
that, where a lot of our listeners are. It doesn't add up. So all of these groups of people got to put their egos aside, their politics aside, and get this figured out.
Right. Exactly. And that's an important point, too, is because so many people, in my preparation for this interview, there are a lot of recent articles from WPR, from NPR, that are talking about housing and the housing issues. And in those articles, they will give stories of people who have said, I have a young family, I was single, I've recently, started to settle down, and now I'm looking to buy that first home. And the people that are cited in those articles have said, like, yeah, we gave up. We're just gonna start again yeah. later, because there's there's nothing available. And when there is something available, often if you want to secure that housing, this has slowed down a little bit, but if you want to secure that housing, you know, 2-3 years ago, it wasn't uncommon for people to be offering $150,000 over asking make sure that if that's their house, if that's their dream house, they get it. And so it's really a staggering shortage that we're seeing both locally and across the country.
And since, like a lot of industries, but maybe this one more than most, it has such a domino effect and affects so many different things.
Right.
We just had Mayor Blazer in for the Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Shane Blazer in yesterday. And one of the things we always talk about is population and keeping people in town, bringing new people to your town. Well, as Kayla just mentioned earlier, if I'm a young couple and I'm looking at Wisconsin Rapids or Marshfield or Wausau or Nacoosa or any of these great cities, and like, that seems like a cool place to raise my kid. That seems like I like the schools. I like this. I like that. What's the housing looking like? And there's two houses to look at.
Right.
And I don't like either of them, or they don't fit my family. I got too many kids or any of this stuff. I'm moving on. I'm immediately, they're not taking hours to think about this, everybody. They're immediately hitting the next city and looking, well, what's this town like? What's Milwaukee looking like? What's this city looking like? And moving on.
Right.
Economic impact that this has is so huge to that part of it.
Yeah.
Keeping people in town. You mentioned the houses, and I can only afford an apartment. And this apartment complex I'm in, they're not doing a good job keeping it up. They're not taking care of it and everything.
Yeah.
I don't want to stay living in a place like that.
Right.
I'm going to look for a job somewhere else that maybe I make a little less, maybe make a little bit more, but I like the housing. I like where my kids are going to school. I like these things. It all adds up.
Yeah. And in a market that's so competitive as well with housing, you mentioned the rental market, apartments, a lot of those complexes now have indoor workout facilities. They have indoor parking. They have they're really increasing the amount of amenities that they're seeing, and people want that. So they're finding those places. Or, you look at those mixed-use developments that have apartments over the top of retail locations. So maybe you have a grocery store on the first level of your apartment. Now, that's not right for everyone, having that, living in that urban type of environment. But for some people, man, if I just have to walk down the stairs to get a gallon of milk, okay, sign me up.
Yep. Yeah. I'm right there right now.
And so it's important. And this is the case with all community issues, right? But it's important to think about the fact that you have a wide variety of interests and of needs for different families and individuals based on what they want for their living arrangements. And really at the end of the day, we want those people in our community. We want a diverse group of young to old demographics living in our community. They make us stronger. They make it a more fun and exciting place to live. But we need to make sure that they have a place to live in the community, that they have housing available.
I know that we've touched on this locally and statewide, and countrywide, that this is an issue throughout the whole country. But there are cities that are, I don't want to say flourishing, but doing well with this subject. And there, it's not hard to see the theme, to see the connections of ones that are doing well and ones that aren't. So many of the, like you brought up all the big four hitters there, of the plan goals, the new construction, zoning reform. Zoning reform is one of those ones that doesn't get talked about nearly enough. And upgrading existing housing. Those are all huge and really nice points. Did a nice job with those. Just to add to that, just to piggyback off of it, being dog friendly is huge.
Right.
Is huge right now. I know that doesn't have necessarily, it's a little bit offshoot of housing, but we've talked about this a lot on the air, how important that is. And Rapids is building a dog park. Other cities have gone and done this and become more dog friendly. Like, it's just these things that you do to entice people to want to move to your area. And that's great. And it's cool. We're going to have a dog park and everything. But it doesn't matter. As again, we've been saying, if I look at this area and all I see is two houses available and neither of them fit my model of my family.
Right.
The way we work about these things, too, is by certainly paying attention to your politicians and what they're voting for and where they stand on these issues and putting people in office that are going to, do the best by your city.
Right. Exactly.
I wanted to make sure to mention those stats one more time, if you don't mind, before we wrap up.
I would be happy. So I think that the state statistic is mm-hmm. is really pretty powerful. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to read this again, and I am just reading it verbatim from the Forward Analytics study. So this, again, is from January 2023, so super current. And it said, the report found that the state needs to build at least 140,000 housing units by 2030 to keep up with current demand. If Wisconsin hopes to increase its working age population by the end of the decade, the number of housing units needed jumps to 227,000.
Just got to stay with, you know, I really hope that stays with people because I don't want it to be daunting. I don't want it to be like seem too heavy to where we can't get out from under this hill or anything like that. But it is necessary that we do pay attention to how serious this is.
Right.
It's not going away.
Exactly.
And I've used this before, but it's one of my favorite lines I've ever heard in a movie, TV show, anything. There's an episode of The Sopranos, and Tony looks at his son, and he goes, "Buy land, AJ. God ain't making any more of it." It's a great line. It's very poignant, but it also speaks to how important this issue is.
Right.
And we take care of this. And one of the most simplest of human things is to want to have a home to come to. Walls, a roof, to be able to hold you and the things you love under and keep them
exactly.
safe.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's one of those issues that not only the economic impact, but the human impact it has. It needs to be talked about. You did a really nice job with this one. Homework on that. You did some real good research.
Thank you for doing your homework as well.
It's always great to talk to you. Kayla. I can't help myself. Like, I just go on these rabbit holes and can't help myself. We do want to let people know that if they want to find out more information, maybe follow up with you about some things.
Sure.
How can they reach you?
They can reach me in a lot of ways. Send a carrier pigeon. It might get to me. Otherwise, email. Is krombalski@wisk.edu. So rombalski@wisk.edu. Or if you Google extension Kayla Rombalski, you'll find me. So
always a good conversation. Too. Thanks
yes,
for the time.
Agreed. Thank you.
We'll have more Morning Magazine for you tomorrow right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.